All right, here's the passage for today. It's Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 17. Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 17. Today is kind of our final week, but actually, next will be our final week in looking at the others from Luke, okay? So we've looked at Zechariah last week, we looked at Mary, we looked at Luke, and this week we're looking at someone other than Jesus. His name is? Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, let me, it's Luke 3, verses 7 through 17. And his name is John the Baptist. That's what we're looking at today. Anticlimactic because there was that little pause. Let's try it again. Who is it?
John the Baptist.
Good job. Good job. Thank you. That's really good. So here's John the Baptist in this passage. Some people are going to come to him in the wilderness where he's preaching. And he's going to call people to repentance, to repent. Okay, so we're going to talk about that today. And not only is John the Baptist calling the people who came to him to repent, but he's actually calling all of us to repent as well. Okay, and we're going to talk about that. What should we do? What do we do? Because Jesus is here. What do we do? So we're going to look at John the Baptist. If you don't know who he was, John the Baptist was a miracle. He was kind of a miracle baby. Sean talked about Zechariah last week, who was married to Elizabeth. They were old. They didn't think they could have a baby. An angel comes and is like, you're going to have a baby. It's going to be John the Baptist. So now John the Baptist is born. He's a little bit older than Jesus. And John the Baptist is actually the one who's going to prepare the way for Jesus to start his ministry. Okay. So, but John was kind of a weird guy. Okay. He hung out in the wilderness. He ate like honey and like stuff from trees and bugs and stuff. He wasn't dressed very nicely. And he ate locusts, some bugs, right? Locust is a bug, right? Yeah, thank you. Grass, oh, like a grasshopper. Oh, that's yummy. It's had a little chocolate on it. He was a weird guy, but people were coming out to the wilderness to go see him. He was kind of famous. People were going out to the wilderness to see him and listen to him talk. So we're going to look at John's encounter with some people who came to the wilderness to see him and to hear him. Okay? Let me read this passage. Luke 3, 7 through 17. This is John the Baptist talking. He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him. So some people are coming to be baptized by him. And he says this, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, they asked him this question, what then shall we do? And John answered them, whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise. And then the tax collectors also came to be baptized. And they said to John, teacher, what shall we do? And John said to them, collect no more than you are authorized to do. And then some soldiers come and they ask him, and we, what shall we do? The soldiers are saying this. And John says to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Let me pray. Jesus, your call to repentance on our lives is actually the most beautiful and good call because it's your salvation worked out in us. Our salvation isn't just a symbolic thing or something that we go through the motions and check off boxes to do, but actually you calling us to repent and us living in repentance is actually the way that we live into the salvation that you offer. Would you open our hearts and our ears and help us to listen to what you have to say to us? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let me just get some water real quick. Sorry. Yeah, thanks. Sorry. I was singing really thirsty. Oh. I loosened it for him. I loosened it for him. I don't know. No, let's restart. I loosened it for him. But that's actually what John the Baptist is doing, okay? He's preparing the way. He's loosening the hearts of the people for Jesus to come. Okay, that's, yeah. Uh-huh. That's part of my acting class I took. But that's who John the Baptist is. John the Baptist came not to be the Christ, not to be Jesus, but to prepare the way, to loosen the hearts, to ready the hearts of the people for the Christ who would come, for Jesus who comes. Okay, so that's what we have here. John the Baptist is loosening the hearts of the people, and he's saying, there's a lot of Jewish people that came to him, and they had all these Old Testament laws. And they were like, we got to follow all these laws, John. And they come to John, and they say, John, can you baptize us? John, we're children of Abraham. Like, we're part of this family already. And John says to them, it's not about going through the motions. It's not about checking off these boxes, but it's actually about a change, a transformation, a loosening of your heart so that Jesus might come and transform you. It's not about just the boxes. That's what John is doing. He's readying the hearts of the people. All right, so crowds come to John the Baptist. And it says, what does it say? It says, crowds came out to be baptized by John. And what are John's opening words to the people that came to be baptized by him? He says, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? John's like, why are you coming here to be baptized? Faith in Jesus, real, meaningful, genuine faith, is not about being baptized, about checking all these motions. But what is it about? What does John say? John says, bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And then the people are like, okay, well, maybe I've been baptized, or maybe I don't need to be baptized, but at least I'm like Abraham's son. At least I belong to the Jewish people. And then what does John say? What does John say to them? Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able to raise up from these stones children for Abraham. John's like, it's not about who your grandfather or your late ancestor is. It's not about coming and checking off the box of baptism. But actually what it is about repentance. About turning away from the wrong that you do and turning towards what's right. And this actually strikes a chord with the crowd, okay? The crowd starts to be stirred a little bit. And then it says, the crowd says in verse 10, the crowds asked him, well, what then shall we do? If it's not about baptism, if it's not about belonging to the right kind of lineage, what is it about? What should we do? And John actually starts to give them specific answers, right? The crowds came to him. The tax collectors came to him. The soldiers came to him. And John has very specific things for each of them, for ways that they can turn and repent and live into the life that Jesus has for them. What does John call them to? There's tax collectors that come. And John asks them to be radically generous. He says, you guys, don't take more than what you're supposed to take. Right? The soldiers come to him. And he says in verse 14, soldiers ask him, what shall we do? And John says to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages. He's saying, be gentle, be honest, and be content. That's a way that you can lean into repentance and into the life that Jesus has for you. So all these specific people, these Jewish people, mostly Jewish people probably, but all from all different walks of life, tax collectors, soldiers, and different people all come to John, and they're like, what can we do? And he gives them specific answers of how they can repent, how they can turn away from their sin, from their wrong, and to what's right, to Jesus. These specific people. And just like I think John gives all these people specific answers for how they can repent, I also think that as Jesus, God knows each of you. Jesus knows each of you. And Jesus knows the ways and that he's calling you to repent. It's not the same for all of us. There is the same goal of wanting to live into the life that Jesus has for us, into life that the way that Jesus walked, and the life that Jesus provides for us. But actually, there's specific ways that Jesus is calling each of you to repent, to turn from what is evil or bad, and to live into the life that Jesus has that is good. And actually, this is a lot of what salvation is. Salvation isn't just some checking off the boxes so that in the future we get to live forever, but we actually get to live into salvation now, Jesus transforming us now, making us whole, helping us to live into who he created us to be now. This is salvation. Repentance is salvation at work. Is the Spirit of Jesus actually working in our lives to save? Not to save us ultimately by our works, but that is what salvation looks like. It's living into the wholeness that Jesus has laid out for us. So baptism might be a sign, but repentance is actually the real meat of true faith. We can be baptized. We can go to church. There's all sorts of boxes that we try to check off to say, okay, I did that. I did that. I went to church. I prayed today. I read my Bible today. I finished the Bible in a year. There's all those things that are good things. But really, what Jesus calls us to is to reflect and to repent, because that is Jesus at work. So the question for you today, okay, this is the question, is the same question that all these people, all these crowds are asking, okay? I want you to ask yourself this. What then should I do? How do I need to change? What do I need to change? Because the faith that Jesus invites us into, the faith that John and then Jesus invites us into even more, it's not a surface level faith. It's not a symbol. It's not just a symbolic faith, but it's a faith that actually produces change. Jesus invites us into a meaningful faith, but we have to ask the question, what shall we do? How do we need to change? How do we need to repent? And I think one of the first steps for that is actually some self-examination, okay? Because we're not going to know how Jesus is asking us or calling us to change or live differently or live into the life and wholeness that he has for us until we actually reflect on ourselves, until we start thinking about the ways that we honestly maybe fail and that we need to change. So maybe think about these questions. How have others in your life critiqued you? How have others in your life maybe called you to do better? And at first, I get pretty defensive, maybe not externally, but internally when someone critiques me, and when someone says, hey, you could do this better, or says, hey, maybe just think about this. I can get pretty defensive internally. But a lot of the time, in the long run, there's parts of it or all of it that is true. That actually, if I took to heart, it's actually Jesus working on me and calling me to repentance. So think about that. How have others critiqued you or called you to be better, right? Because I think there could be some truth in that. I think Jesus could be speaking to you that way. Think about what do you know that you need to change in your life? What is one way that's just standing out to you that you know you need to change or live differently or believe something differently truly inside of you, but you don't necessarily feel like you have the power to? Pay attention to those things, okay? Pay attention to these things. Pay attention to how you spend your time. What are your first thoughts about others when you see them? Pay attention to that. What makes you sad? What makes you feel angry? What makes you feel empty? Pay attention to those things, because I think a lot of the time those things poke at the ways that we actually need to repent, that we need to turn from something and turn to something better, turn to Jesus. I think these questions will actually help us to know and point us to the ways that God wants to transform us, to change us. And here's the good news, okay? Like I said, repentance can be a tough thing because one, we get defensive. We don't always know. It takes reflection. It takes honesty. It's hard. It's difficult. And a lot of time we want to change, but we just can't change. We just don't feel like we have the power. But here is the amazing thing that John reminds us of. John is not the Christ, but who is? Who is the Christ? John says this. John answered them all saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming. Jesus, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He, Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John came and he baptized us with a symbol, with just water. But Jesus, the baptism of Jesus is actually the Holy Spirit, is God alive and amongst us, actually empowering us to repent and to change and to be transformed. And that's the good news. That is the really good news. That's what we need to lean into. We need to lean into that truth. That God is alive and with us as we battle and as we fight to figure out ways that we can live into the wholeness that Jesus has for us, that Jesus calls us to. So, John the Baptist is here to prepare the way for Jesus. And he says, and I think he's really calling us to a meaningful faith. So, as you go, we're actually just going to have a couple minutes here after just to reflect by ourselves. And you can write or just pray by yourself. But I want you to think about these questions. What shall I do? Just like the people said, what shall I do? What do I need to do? How do I need to change? Think about the ways that maybe God is kind of poking you to say, maybe this is an area. Pay attention to those things. And think about this. Do you want a real meaningful faith? Okay, do you want a faith that is meaningful, that is real, that is tangible, that isn't just a surface level symbolic thing, but do you want a meaningful, real, true faith? One that isn't just symbolic or tradition or about checking off the boxes, but one that actually encounters God living among us. Then lean into repentance. Take this time, these next few minutes, to lean into it. Think about it as you go home. Lean into repentance to think about how God might be calling and empowering you to change. Not only does God call us to change, but God empowers us to change by God's Spirit. Let's pray. God, we thank you for John, being able to read about him and his call to us to repent, to turn away from what breaks us down and what breaks others down, from what hurts us and hurts others, and to live into the wholeness, into the goodness that Jesus calls us to. And God, we thank you that you don't leave us alone in repentance, but you leave us with your Spirit. We leave us being able to encounter you in every moment and empower us as we repent and look for change. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.